Hello and a very warm welcome to On Design. It's the show brought to you by the team behind Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated weekly design show. I'm your host, Josh Fennett. Now, each week we creak open a door on an aspect of design that we think deserves just that little bit more attention, from overlooked visionaries to architectural triumphs and everything in between. This week, the editors of MacGuffin tell us about a piece of furniture on which the current issue of their magazine sheds a little light. Here's Kristen Alghera and Ernst van der Hoven to tell us how cabinets really can be portals to other worlds.
Every MacGuffin has a theme, and so far we've made five issues: the bed, the window, the rope, and the sink. After those four, we thought it was time for another piece of furniture, and the cabinet is one of the most fascinating, we think. It's a rich base for stories, of course, but it's also one of the oldest furniture pieces in European history. So that's why we started with the cabinet. And when we started researching it, we were very much inspired by a novel that we got from Walter Benjamin, the philosopher and the writer from Germany. And he wrote about his childhood in Berlin in 1900, and he describes his life in the house where he grew up like a sort of adventure novel with cupboards. So he describes the big monstrous cabinet he had in the living room, sort of mountain, sacred mountain he couldn't get into, and the walking closet of his parents with underwear. They had a separate underwear closet. How amazing is that? And he used to go in there as a child, sneak in there, it was a forbidden closet, and stick his hand into the rolled up socks to grasp them from the inside. And he describes this sensation, Walter Benjamin, and the simultaneous concealment and revelation, that is something that he got from it. It taught him how form and content, he writes, are the same in a way, like in a folded sock or in a cabinet. And we find that very interesting because it says something about the sock, but also about the cabinet, that it's like a view, but it's also what is viewed. So it's not only used to keep things, but also to show and to hide things.
We were fascinated by self-storage. At that point, we were making an exhibition for the new institute in Rotterdam, the architecture institute there. It was all about collecting. And of course, if you collect things, you have to store them. And we were thinking of making a series in which we portray collections in self-storages. So we contacted Johannes Schwartz, a photographer we worked with before, and he is known for making very abstract, layered photos, but we thought, well, maybe he could make portraits of these self-storages. And we were romanticizing about seeing maybe this perfect portrait of hobbies, like the man with the motorcycle, the boat owner, the people with all their records stuffed, or people that store other very specific collections. But then we found out that, in a way, it's more generic, and it's even just stuff. And that's the whole, I think, the most intriguing thing about the self-storage, is that it's really getting to be the second garage. So it's all the stuff that people have and not necessarily can throw away. And why is that? And maybe because of guilt or procrastination or endowment, just because of the fact that people, that the things that you own, you value more. You give another value to.
We also wanted to do something on the cabinet that is about its function as a showpiece element. It has been a showpiece element, of course, for a long time. I think even the very first cabinet in Europe was a showpiece cabinet, namely in Skara Brae, so the Scottish Pompeii, but also in later times, of course, showing things in the cabinet in Wunderkammers, for example, was very important. And in the 60s of the last century, this showpiece element was analyzed and commented on by Ettore Sotsas. And he later, you know him from Memphis, obviously, before Memphis, he made a wonderful series of different cabinets, sort of totem-like cabinets for Poltrow Nova, and we featured them in the magazine. And they're called super boxes, and they are made from sort of fantastic striped plastic laminate. The first time Sotsis worked with this, like enormous pedestals standing free in space, sort of totems with very striking colors that were inspired by American petrol stations. And Sotsis wanted to free the cabinet of its traditional function and discuss the showing and the hiding role of the cabinet. So we were very happy to present those super boxes, and we found some amazing material in the Poltrow Nova archive that wasn't shown before. It's really wonderful, and we think it's very nice that we all know Sotsis from the Memphis furniture, but his oeuvre is in fact much more richer and much more critical also about the function of furniture than that. We hope that this magazine on the cabinet is a sort of journey into our cabinets and the role they play in our culture, because nothing combines, we think, the desire to display and in the same time to hide things as much as the cabinets in our lives. So that's what makes them so interesting.
Our very special thanks to Christine Alghera and Ernst van der Hoven, speaking to Monocle's very own Henry Rhys Sheridan there. Each issue of MacGuffin explores the life of a different thing, from ropes to sinks and windows to beds. Do pick up issue 5 for a fascinating compendium of stories on and around the peripheries of the humble cabinet. You've been listening to On Design, a Monocle 24 production from the team behind Section D. Don't forget, you can listen to the full half-hour show on Tuesdays at 1900 London time, or download the podcast at any time you like. Do remember, you can also uncover more design delights in the pages of Monocle magazine. I'm Josh Fenner, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.